Hello, welcome to episode 3 of Things That Go Bump in the Night. This is JC Bratton, your host, coming to you from San Jose, California. Today's episode is entitled Bloody Mary. So Bloody Mary is sort of the mistress behind all the different events that occur in the short story, Who's at the Door? And she's also a mastermind. It plays a role in Dollhouse, but she also lingers a little bit in Parasomnia. But so she's kind of everywhere in 3 of my tales so far. And in part 2 of this podcast, I will go ahead and explain a little bit more about a specific version of Bloody Mary, Elizabeth Bathory. I want to talk a little bit about her and give you a little bit of insight on her background, because I use her as sort of a baseline in terms of my understanding of the urban legend of Bloody Mary. But going into that, first of all, let's go ahead and talk about some of the feedback that I've received from fans like yourself. I have a person who posted a review on Amazon for Who's at the Door on May 8th, 2020. And she goes into some detail about the Bloody Mary legend and also 333 and the significance of that. And so I want to talk a little bit more about those things. So Amanda Gentry, 4-star review, twisted tale full of suspense. So here's what she says. Have you ever wondered about the tale of Bloody Mary? An old mirror, disappearing videos, bullying, the disappearance of Mary Montgomery, and the tale of Bloody Mary and the game associated with it are all part of the suspenseful, hair-raising work. The story opens just after 17-year-old Jamie crashed her car into a tree. Because of the injury she received in this car wreck, she wasn't able to accompany her parents on their long-awaited trip to Hawaii. But her parents weren't worried about their daughter being on her own. After all, she was 17, and their doorbell was equipped with a motion-activated camera. When Jamie is alerted that someone is at the door at 333 more than once and no one is there, she thinks that maybe the system is malfunctioning. But why always 333? She then starts seeing someone standing there, a bloody girl. With the video of this person in need of help at the door disappears from her phone, Jamie thinks she's losing her mind. The situation intensifies when she realizes that everything has ties to an old mirror her family sold years ago. And she's not the only one in danger, so are her friends. The story behind this mirror and what it's capable of is much more sinister than Jamie ever thought possible. Reading this twisted tale full of suspense is a good way to pass what would otherwise be a boring afternoon. I wouldn't recommend reading it at night or without the lights, though. So really, really great review. I was really happy to read this from Amanda. Now, just wanted to talk a little bit about some significance. So obviously, you know, Bloody Mary plays a big part of this story, going back to this whole mirror concept. Mirror is a portal concept. As we know from the Bloody Mary urban legend, you say Bloody Mary's name 3 times in front of a mirror. Of course, you want to be in like this candlelit room and you want it to be very eerie, but once you say her name 3 times, she'll appear to you in front of the mirror. She'll do a number of things. Some legends say that she'll just scratch your eyes out. Others say that she pulls you into the mirror. So it really kind of depends on what urban legend you follow there. But yeah, Bloody Mary, definitely important part of Who's at the Door. Also, the significance of 333. So 333 is in reference to what we call the witching hour. So the witching hour is a situation where the two worlds begin to collide. So like that, the sort of the window between the present world that we live in today and the world of spirits, whether it be benign spirits or evil spirits that can kind of cross into our universe, right? And so it goes back to that whole idea, so that this whole mirror thing is a portal, and this portal is bringing us this evil, sadistic mistress, aka Bloody Mary. So that's where it comes from. So hope you guys get a little bit more insight of what I'm getting to. And but you know, at the end of the day, Who's at the Door really is just a traditional ghost story, but I do like encompassing the whole concept of an urban legend. Have you ever heard of the legend of Bloody Mary? That's a question that I like to ask people. And if you do some research online regarding, you know, Bloody Mary, what you'll find is that it's really unknown where the exact origin of Bloody Mary came from. You can look at, you know, various nobles from the past, and or you can even look at, you know, Japanese lore, such as Hanaka-san, who you find appearing in a number of my short stories. But I really think that probably the most intriguing of all the people who were considered sort of the basis of Bloody Mary is a person named Elizabeth Bathory. So Elizabeth Bathory was a Hungarian noble and a countess. She was born in the Transylvania area of Bulgaria in August of 1560. And she was accused of killing up to 650 people. Definitely a person who was very sadistic, and she really focused heavily on torturing females and her servants who were females in particular. So what happened was Elizabeth Bathory grew up a very beautiful woman of wealth, status, etc. She married a man who went away to war a lot, so he wasn't around very much. But she used that time apart to be able to kind of do her own thing. And she had four children. And so a number of people questioned, you know, how she had these four children while her husband was away all the time. But apparently she was quite the mistress, as well as loving torture. And she just tortured her female servants. And apparently what happened was, as she grew a little bit older, she had killed one of her servants who, and what ended up happening was the female servant's blood was on her hands. And I guess apparently by having the servant's blood, she felt that she herself, Elizabeth, started to look younger. And then she ordered that servant's blood be drained into a tub so she can bathe in her servant's blood. And then going forward, she wanted to get the blood of young virgin peasant women in the surrounding areas where she was the countess. So so she developed a reputation of being called the Blood Countess, or even Countess Dracula. Some people say that even she was maybe the basis of Bram Stoker's Dracula, but that hasn't been proven necessarily. But still, very, very sick and sadistic woman. She eventually was tried for her crimes. It happened after she started utilizing young noble women as part of her killing spree. And so that got the attention of other nobles, who finally said, okay, time is up. We need to send this woman to some sort of confinement. And I guess since she's a noble, she didn't actually go to a prison. She was actually confined to her castle. So for 3 years, she was in complete confinement. And she eventually died. She died at age 54 in August 21st of 1614. So she died a lonely, miserable death, but she was not remorse at all for what she did. So
Needless to say, Elizabeth Bathory has a lot of qualities to make her seem like a really great basis for the legend of the evil Bloody Mary. Nothing in the folklore or legend talks about her being involved with mirrors or anything like that, but the thirst for blood, the torturing of young women, all kind of plays into that whole lore, where you could probably see that she could be easily connected to the legend of Bloody Mary. So hope you enjoyed hearing about that. Again, Elizabeth Bathory, definitely somebody who you'll find in my stories where I discuss Bloody Mary. The Elizabeth Bathory version sort of appears in a way. If you recall from my short stories, I talk about a woman in white who just kind of, you know, appears in different facets of the story. And I'm modeling her actually after Elizabeth Bathory. I haven't talked much about her yet, but needless to say, she might make some appearances in other stories that I have planned going forward. So join me next week and we will talk about parasomnia. So with regards to my short story called Parasomnia, the whole facet of parasomnias is very interesting. I've been doing a lot of research lately on near-death experiences and this whole idea of a collective consciousness. So I want to talk about that in more detail next week. So until then, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you have a good day or evening wherever you are. Thank you.